Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Yoma Daf Beis. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief aforementioned introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Before embarking on the study of Maseches Yoma, we highly recommend the study of two tractates of Mishnayos that are found at the end of Seder Kodshim, namely Masechtos Tomid and Midos. Tomid giving you a sense of the daily activity in the Beis HaMikdash, and Maseches Midos giving you a sense of the physical layout of the Beis HaMikdash. The information contained therein is quite beneficial for appreciating Maseches Yoma. Furthermore, we also highly recommend studying all of the Mishnayos of this Masechta Yoma before actually learning the Gemara. The reason being is that the Masechta, except for the last parak, for the eighth parak, is basically a one-topic Masechta, wherein the Gemara focuses on the Avodas Yom HaKippurim of the Kohen Gadol in the Beis HaMikdash on Yom Kippur. Unfortunately, today, in the absence of the Beis HaMikdash, which we are eagerly awaiting its return, we don't fully appreciate the magnitude and grandioseness of the Yom Kippur experience as took place in the Beis HaMikdash. Hopefully, through the study of Maseches Yoma, one will gain a greater appreciation and a certain sense of what was taking place, and in that spirit, we might make mention as well that on the market there are various illustrations that accompany this Masechta, in illustrations in book form, starting with illustrated Mishnayos and other related topics. Of course, it certainly doesn't compare to the real thing, which, as we said, we are eagerly awaiting. That having been said, and having noted that the Masechta deals with the Avodas Yom HaKippurim of the Kohen Gadol, the Masechta presents what took place in the Beis HaMikdash in an orderly fashion, from following the order of what actually took place, and that itself is based on the psukim that are found in Parshas Achrimos in Sefer Vayikra. So, in addition to our recommendations of learning the Mishnayos before really pursuing this Masechta, all the more so one should be familiar with the psukim in Parshas Achrimos that deals with the Avodas Yom HaKippurim. If one readies himself, as we recommended, starting with the Chumash, Perek Tes Zayin in Sefer Vayikra, Parshas Achrimos, and learning all of the Mishnayos of Masechtas Tomid, Midos, and Maseches Yoma, one will have a very fine introduction to this Masechta. The opening Mishnah deals with the Hafrosha, the setting aside of the Kohen Gadol for a week's time, for 1 week, before engaging in the actual Yom Kippur service. So that you're talking about the beginning of the month of Tishrei, right after Rosh Hashanah. For 1 week, the Kohen Gadol was put in a special chamber located off the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, and the details of what took place are explained in the Mishnayos and the Gemara. As far as the issue of Hafrosha being set aside, our Mishnah deals with the Kohen Gadol being set aside for a period of a week before the Yom Kippur service, this idea of being set aside before a particular event, we find as well with regard to the preparation of the Pora Aduma, which we will see in the Gemara. And the Gemara will be looking for a precedent. Where do we learn? What is the basis of this idea of being set aside for a week's time before engaging in a particular activity or a particular event? The Gemara will cite possible sources for that. We will see Psukim dealing with the Miluim, with the consecration of the Mishkan, and the opinion of Reish Lakish later in the Gemara, which states that we learn this concept of Hafrosha being set aside during this, we'll call this readying period, as was the case at Matan Torah, the receipt of the Torah, where Moshe Rabbeinu was set aside. And as we said, that will appear later in the Gemara on Daf Gimel Amud Beis. Before we begin the actual text, we glance at the side and we have our topic heading where we've written that which we've already said. Mafrishin Kohen Godol, Zayin Yomim, 7 days. We set him, Mafrishin, we set him aside 7 days, Lefnei Avodas Yom Kippur, before the Yom Kippur service, which was done exclusively by the Kohen Godol. The Mishnah. Shivas Yomim Koidim Yom HaKippurim, 7 days prior to Yom Kippur, Mafrishin Kohen Godol Mibeso, the Kohen Godol is separated from his house. Now his house is in fact a reference to his wife. He's separated from his wife, Lelishkas Farhedrin, and he's relocated, placed in this chamber in the Beis HaMikdash called the Chamber of Parhedrin. The basis of that name will also be a point of discussion in the Gemara. Umaskinin loy kohen acher tachtov, and a replacement kohen gadol is set aside. Shemo yera boi psu, for in fear or in anticipation of the event of a psul developing, a disqualifying factor, disqualifying issue arises with regard to our Kohen Gadol, so there is a replacement one waiting in the wings. The Gemara will point out that the Mishnah's term, Maskinin, lo Kohen Gadol, means he is appointed, but he's not necessarily set aside in this hafrosha sense of being isolated or set aside, separated from his wife for a week. A point that will be brought up later in the Gemara. Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, af isho acheres maskinim lo, in addition to a replacement Kohen Gadol being designated, Rabbi Yehuda says even another woman is designated to be a, we'll call him a replacement for his wife, that Shemo Tomos Ishto, in anticipation of the possibility that the Kohen Gadol's current wife may die during Yom Kippur, so a woman is designated to be a replacement woman. Shenemar, it says, regarding Yom Kippur, V'chiper ba'adoi uva'ad beisoi, and he shall atone for himself and atone for his beiso. Beiso zu Ishto. The term beiso means his wife. It's a type of remez or a hint. The Gemara says in Maseches Gittin, Rabbi Pinchas says, Me'olam lo karisi ishti ishti ala ishti beisi. I never refer to my wife as my wife, but rather my wife, he would refer to her as my house, being that the woman is the ikur, the mainstay of a household. So the term beso is a synonym for one's wife. And the pasuk says that the Kohen Gadol has to, he atones for himself and for his wife, implying that he has to have a wife. So in the event of something happening to his wife, namely in the event of her passing on Yom Kippur, he has to have a replacement wife immediately available. That's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Omrulo, the Rabbonim, those that felt otherwise, that disagreed with Reb Yudah, said, Im Kain, if you're going to be Choshesh, worry about the possibility of her demise, Ein Rodov herself. There's no end to that. Maybe the second one will also die, so you'll have to have a third woman, etc., and so forth, without any end in sight. So the Rabbonim say we don't get started with those concerns. The Gemara. For learning the Gemara itself, we glance at the side where we have a topic heading Mafrishin the Shiva Yomim Kohen Hasoref Es Apora Ho Aduma. We set aside the Kohen that will be in charge of taking care of slaughtering and burning the Poraduma. That Kohen who's designated for preparing the Poraduma. The Poraduma is a red cow, a red haired cow that is slaughtered on the Mount of Olives, on the, well, the eastern slope facing the Beis HaMikdash, and its ashes, after the animal is slaughtered and there's a sprinkling of its blood in the direction of the Beis HaMikdash, the animal carcass was burnt and its ashes were eventually gathered, and the ash would be mixed with water, and that ash water mixture would be used for the purification of people that had become defiled to the dead. So in preparation of the Poradumo, we have the following Tanaic source. So it says in our Gemara, Tanan Hosam, Shivas Yomim Kedem Srefas HaPorah, 7 days prior to the burning of the Poradumo, Hoyu Mafrishin Kohen HaSrefas HaPorah Mibeso, the people in charge set aside the Kohen who was charged with burning the red cow, and he was set aside from his house, Lelishka Shalpanei Habirot Safona Mizracha, and he was placed in a chamber that was Alpanei Habira. Now the term Bira will be explained later, but it's a reference in general terms. Before we get even before we get to the Gemara, it's a reference to the Beis HaMikdash. So he was placed in a chamber in the Beis HaMikdash in the Safona Mizracha, the north eastern corner of the courtyard. The Lishkas Beis HaEven Hoysa Nikres, and the name of that chamber was Lishkas Beis HaEven. The word Lishka is a reference to a chamber, Beis HaEven, the stone chamber. The Loma Nikro Shmo Lishkas Beis HaEven. Why was it called that? Answer: Shekol Masel, because in that chamber, during the week of separation of this Kohen Gadol, all the vessels that he would use were. Beyond that, all the vessels that he would use in the during that week and in the context of the Poraduma were Shekol Maaseho B'Kli Glolim B'Kli Avonim U'B'Kli Adoma. The in the preparation of the Poraduma, all the vessels that were used were these vessels. Klei Glolim are vessels made of animal feces. Animal feces, when they're hardened, so they become vessels. Klei Avonim are stone vessels, and Klei Adoma, literally, Adoma is earth. However, Rashi explains it's that which you dig up from the ground, which is a type of soft rock, and it's soft enough that you can chisel out of it a vessel. What's unique to these three materials is that they are not Mekabel Tuma. So that Kol Maaseha, all the activities done in preparation of the Poraduma, these kind of vessels were used. What we see here is an extreme type of stringency where there was the avoidance of all kinds of tuma, even to the extent that the vessels that were used were vessels that were impervious to tuma absorption. As we go on in the Gemara, you'll notice a series of triangles, one of our series markings, and on the side of the Gemara there are a Mivneh heading. You can see a triangle is featured, and we've noted Sidro Shel She'elos Birur Al HaMokor Mimaseches Parah. There's a series of questions for clarification purpose questions regarding the source that we just learned from the tractate of Parah. My Taimo. why the clay golem? Why these vessels that do not absorb tumah? Why were they used? Why were only those used? Answer. And the answer of the Gemara lasts a number of lines. So, before we learn the Gemara text itself, the basic theme is that with regard to the Parah Adumah, there was one aspect, one element, or a detail in which an act of seeming leniency took place, so that in order to counterbalance that act of leniency that we haven't described yet, but to counterbalance that, to create a sense of seriousness to the matter of preparing the Parah Adumah, we went in the other extreme regarding all other matters regarding the preparation of the Parah Adumah. So once again, because of one aspect of leniency, so as to create an air of seriousness so that people wouldn't treat it lightly, we imposed a number of other stringencies with regard to the preparation of the Parah Adumah. Now let's see in detail what's that leniency. So the Gemara says, Kevon de Tevul Yom Kosher Bepora. Just a word about the expression Tevul Yom. Tevul Yom is a reference to someone who had been Tomei. And this is just a general explanation, then we'll apply it to the Parah Adumah. But someone who had been Tomei, at the end of his Tumah period, whether it's a 7-day Tumah period or a 1-day Tumah period, he needs on his last day to immerse in a mikveh, and after the immersion in the mikveh, he's not yet purified. He needs to wait till sundown. In some instances, the next day a korban is to be brought, but that's not of our concern right now. With regard to the preparation of the Parah Adumah, there was a controversy between traditional Torah law and the opinion of the Tzedukim, the Sadducees. These are people that did not accept oral tradition, the oral law. And the following Tanaic source describes that. So we pointed out that in the preparation of a Parah Adumah, and we should emphasize, by the way, the Parah Adumah was not a sacrifice. Even though the Torah calls it a chatos, which literally is a reference to a sin offering, that's a borrowed expression with regard to the Parah Adumah. So, making sure that it's clear that the Parah Adumah was not a sacrifice, as we mentioned in passing earlier, it was actually slaughtered outside the Beis HaMikdash on the Mount of Olives, on Har HaMashchal, opposite the Temple Mount altogether. It wasn't in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara says that since a Tevul Yom is kosher b'parah, it's acceptable for someone who had been Tomei, went to Mikveh, and is right now pre-sundown. He's prior to the setting of the sun. At that point, he is acceptable for processing the Parah Adumah, the Snan. And the Tanaic source tells us, Mitamin hoyu hakayin aserf sapora, they would actually defile the Kohen who was going to prepare the Parah Adumah. In other words, we knew who the designated Kohen was, and we would have him physical contact with, let us say, a sheretz. That physical contact with the sheretz would impose on that Kohen a state of tumas sheretz. That happens to be a 1-day tumah. So, 1 day meaning within the day, he is tumah. That, during that day, he would then, after we were metamim, we actively, proactively, defiled him. And that's a rather odd thing to do. In fact, that would look in the eyes of the public as treating the Parah Adumah as in a very light fashion. Here we're actually defiling somebody, the person who's going to process the Parah Adumah, We would then have him immerse in the mikveh. Sunset has not yet taken place. And we would say now, after you've gone to the mikveh, even though you are a tvul yom, which is a low grade form of tumah, but you are tamei, go ahead and process the poraduma. Now, why did they do that? So the source says they were metama the kohen aserv sapor umad bilin also, and then they would have him immerse in the mikveh lahoitzi milibon shel tzedukim shehoyu omrim v'meurove hashemesh hoisonasis. They said the tzedukim, the heretics, the scoffers, the non-believers, they claimed that the poraduma was processed only if the sun has set already. In other words, they took a stricter approach, if you will, but it's unfounded. Their approach is not based on true rabbinic oral tradition. Therefore, even though it appears as a stringency, it nevertheless is unfounded. So as to dispel, lehotzi milibon, to dispel their point of view that claimed that a Kohen would need to be Mu'ur of Shemesh, being after sunset, we were metamehim. We, as we said, proactively defiled the Kohen Hasar Sapara. So as to demonstrate that they, the Tzedukim, are wrong. You don't have to wait for sunset in order to be acceptable in the processing of the Poraduma. Again, we're sounding a bit repetitive, but the Poraduma was not a sacrifice. And therefore, a Tfu Yom is acceptable. And to make that point, we did what we did. We defiled him, sent him to Mikveh, and before sundown said, go ahead and you do the Poraduma now. So because of this seeming leniency that we described, of defiling him proactively, so to counterbalance that, so as people should not get the feeling that the Poraduma was not a serious matter, we imposed all kinds of additional restrictions. Tokinu lo rabbonon klei glolim, klei avonim, uklei adoma. The lo lekablu tumo. The rabbonon insisted that all other matters regarding the preparation of the Poraduma shall be done using vessels that are made of these non-defilement materials, glolim, avonim, and adoma, that are not mekabel tumah, the lolik lutumah, ki hechi de lol lezalzu lubasa, as people should not come to scoff, treat lightly the Poraduma. Rashi says, ki hechi de lol lezalzu lupo, lomar, claiming hoyol tvul yom kosher mepora, since a tvul yom is acceptable, ein tzorch lios zrizin bo b'shmiras tara. Therefore, we don't have to be careful in general with laws regarding purity. L'kach osu bo ma'alu yisharbe l'tara v'zu achz man. So therefore, the Rabbanan imposed stringencies, all kinds of additional stringencies, and this is one of them. This meaning the insistence on using defilement resistant vessels. We continue. Notice we have a little star to the right hand side of the Gemara text. You can align this with the star above. My shno tzfona mizrach. We said that the Kohen who was going to be sorif as a pora, that was going to burn the pora aduma, was set aside, restricted to a chamber on the northeastern corner of the Azara. Why specifically northeast? So when in saying northeast, you notice there are two directions. There's north and there's east. So we're going to break them down into two parts as we go on. And the Gemara answers, why northeast? Aleph. Kevon de chatos hi. That means since the Torah calls the Poraduma by the term chatos, the chatos teuna tsefona, and the a korban chatos, a regular sin offering brought in the Beis HaMikdash, is slaughtered tzafona in the northern. Tuna means it requires tzafona, the northern part of the temple courtyard, as opposed to other kinds of sacrifices which are in the category of kochim kalim, where the entire azora is acceptable for their slaughtering. Not so in the case of a sin offering, which is an example of high-level sanctity sacrifices, which are known as kochei kochim. They are restricted to the northern half of the temple courtyard for their slaughtering. So since the Paraduma is called in the Torah by the term Chatos, even though, as we said, the Paraduma itself was not a sacrifice, Uksiv Ba, and notice we have a base over here. Another point regarding the Paraduma, it says El Noichach Pene Oyel Moyed. That means that there was a sprinkling of the blood of that Paraduma facing the base Hamikdash, facing the Oyel Moyed. In effect, that means on the eastern side, it's in the case of Yerushalayim, on the slope facing, on the mountain slope facing the eastern side of the Beis Hamikdash. So there you get the element of east. So since the Paraduma has these elements, the northern element, by virtue of its name, it's called a Poras Chatos in the Torah, and the sprinkling of the blood is on the eastern side, facing the eastern side of the Beis Hamikdash, Tokinu la Rabbanan Lishka Safona Mizracha. So the rabbis established the chamber for the Kohen HaSurfis of Porah would be on the northeastern side of the temple courtyard, having the elements of north and east, as we described, Ki Hechi Delevei Lo Hakera. So as it should be noticeable, it should be understood, Heker is something that is clear and noticeable, that the Kohen who is there was set aside for this purpose. And all of this would result in added diligence in studying and knowing what is needed for the Paraduma. My Bira. Now, you'll notice we have a little arrow to the left-hand side of the Gemara text, and you can align this with the arrow before, indicating the line where Bira was mentioned. What is Bira? We mentioned that the Kohen HaSorif HaSapora was set aside to a northeastern chamber that was Al-Panei HaBira. Omar Rabo Barachanom Rabbi Yochanan, the first of two answers. Mokom Hoyo Bahar HaBayis, there was a place, a specific place on the Temple Mount, Ubira Shmo, and it was called Bira. So the chamber, as far as this pshat is concerned, was a chamber located on the Bira section of the Temple Mount. Reish Lakish Omar Kol HaMikdash Kulo Korui Bira. The entire Beis HaMikdash has a secondary name, and it's called the Bira. Shinemar, as the Pasuk says, HaBira Asher HaChinoisi. Rashi says, HaBira Asher HaChinoisi Asher Zimanti Lo Mokoyim Gurin Aravno Livnoisaboy V'David Komarle Lahai Kro B'divar Yomim. This Pasuk was said by David HaMelech, and the word HaChinoisi in the Pasuk means that I prepared, that I designated. We know that David HaMelech designated, he didn't build the actual temple, but he prepared the ground on which it would be built. He purchased an area from a gentleman by the name of Aravno. He had a granary there, which eventually became known to us as the Temple Mount. So Bira is a reference to the Beis HaMikdash. At this point, the Gemara gets into source seeking. On the side, under our Nosei, our topic heading, we have noted Hamokor, and we indicated in parentheses Mikra, a source in terms of Sukkim, Deboinon Prisha Zion, number one, Lekoin Asurif HaSapara, number two, Lekoin Gadol Lefnei Yom Kippur. Again, we're looking for sources by way of Sukkim for the separation of the Kohen who's going to prepare the Paraduma and the separation of the Kohen Gadol prior to Yom Kippur, two topics that we've already seen. Mino Hanimili, we ask, the Gemara asks, where do we know this? Omar of Minyumi Bar Chilki, Omar of Mechasio Bar Idi, Omar of Yochanan, Omar Kro. The Pasuk says, and this Pasuk is found in Sefer Vayikra, Perek Ches, in a section which is known as the Miluim. Miluim is a reference to the days of consecration leading up to the establishment of the Mishkan as a place of service. Sacrificial service. So there were consecration days that actually took place in the last week of Chodesh Adar, the month of Adar, culminating in the first of Nisan, which was the first day of the actual priestly service in the Mishkan, the forerunner of the Beis HaMikdash. Before we continue in the Gemara itself, let's draw your attention to Psukim that we have on the side that we've written. Vayikra, Perekhes, Pasuk, Lamed Gimel. The Gemara itself will be opening with Pasuk, Lamed Hey, but leading up to Pasuk, Lamed Hey, we have two more Psukim. And on the side, we've written the Psukim, which read, Vipesach ol moeg lo seitzu shivas yomim, from the door of the Oed, from the Oed, it's a reference here to the Mishkan, they will, shall not leave for 7 days, ad yom melois yimei milueichem, until the completion of the consecration days, kishivas yomim yimalei es yedchem, during those 7 days, so literally your hands will be filled, but it's a reference to their preparation. And their preparation means the Kohanim, and in the case of the Torah, the only Kohanim that really were there were Aaron and his four sons. Two of the four sons, Nadav and Avihu, died on the first day of the actual practice of the priestly service in the Mishkan on Aleph Nisan. The next pasuk Lamed Daled reads, "Kasher also bayom azeh tzivu Hashem la'asoyis l'chaper alechem, as you've done on this day, regarding the Yemei Miluim, so too you are to do, and as the Torah says, la'asos l'chaper alechem." It's very vague, but there is another time that separation is required. That at very least we can see. Exactly what is that other time? What are those other times? That's exactly what we are looking for. And Pasuk Lamed Hey, Upesacho Moed Teshvu Yoimim V'Laylo Shivas Yomim, and you shall stay in the Mishkan for a period of 7 days, day and night. So, in anticipation of the consecration of the Beis HaMikdash, or the Mishkan, which is going to take place on Aleph Nisan, there was a 7 day lead up period where the Kohanim were restricted to the Beis HaMikdash, namely separated from their households. So our Gemara continues. The Rabbi Yochanan says, Omar Kro, Kasher also b'yoyim hazeh tzivo Hashem la'asoyis l'chaper aleichem. That's the Pasuk, as we say, Pasuk Lamed Hey. Let's more accurately, Pasuk Lamed Dalet, Kasher also b'yom hazeh, as you've done now, so you will do on another occasion, meaning as you've done during the Miluim, where you've been isolated and separated from your wives for in anticipation of the consecration of the Mishkan, so too you do lasos l'chaper lechem. The Gemara explains lasos elu maise poro l'chaper elu maise yom kippurim. So the pasuk is hinting to two additional separations: the separation for the maise poro, for the processing in anticipation of the processing of the poro duma, and l'chaper means in anticipation of the Yom Kippur service. Bishlama kulei kra b'poro lo mesukam. It's understandable that we cannot set up the entire pasuk that we just read, Vayikra Perek Ches Pasuk Lamed Daled. We can't set up the entire pasuk as referring only to the pora lechaper ksiv upora lav bas kaporahi. The pasuk uses the word lechaper, means atonement, and the pora aduma was not a source of atonement. It may have been a source of purification, but that's not atonement from sin. So therefore, lechaper is not a reference to the pora aduma. Now the issue is elo emo. Maybe we should say kulei kra biyom hakipurim ksiv, that the entire pasuk is a reference to Yom Kippur alone. Namely, if we say that, that means we're saying that the concept of hafrasha is limited to not only Miluim as is explicit, but also to Yom Kippur, but nothing else, not the Pora. And yet, we said that there's Hafrosha for Pora Duma. So what's the source? The Gemara answers, and this answer takes you to the bottom line. Amri Yolef Tziva Tziva. There is a Gzera Shava that establishes the necessity for Hafrosha by Pora Aduma as well. It says Ksiv Hocha. It says here in the Parsha of Miluim, Tziva Hashem La'asois Uksiv Hosam, and it says in Parsha's Pora, Zois Chukas Atoira Asher Tziva Hashem Leimor. Now you can see we've dashed underlined the word Tziva in both Psukim. Ma Lahalon Pora, just like in the Parshas Bamidbar Yutes, which is the Parsha dealing with the preparation of Pora Aduma. So Tziva there is a reference to the Pora Aduma, Tziva meaning the command of Hashem to fulfill. So Afkan, so too in Vayikra Ches, which was our Miluim Pasuk, Pora. Pora is also understood to be referred to. Uma kan prisha, and just like in the case of Miluim, there was prisha. Af lahalon prisha, so too there in the parsha of Pora, there is the necessity for prisha. The Gemara continues at the top of Daf Beis Amud Beis, and we immediately encounter a new geometric form, another series marking. And if you scan the page, you'll see. It appears, the diamond appears twice, and on the side under our Mivneh heading, these are Nisyonos Lidchois Prisha Lepora, Shenilman Migzera Shava, Tetziva, Ulahatzia Bimkoima Prisha Lidvorim Achirim, Alpi Drosha Shel Tziva. And the Gemara here will be attempting to reject the conclusion we just reached through the Gzera Shava of Tziva, which according to our conclusion, Tziva was a hint or a reference to the Pora Aduma. Well, we're going to ask who says. Maybe Tziva is a reference to something else, and we're going to do this twice. And if we are successful in saying Tziva is a reference to something else, then we won't have a scriptural source for Hafrosha for Pora Aduma. So the Gemara asks, V'eimah Tziva Tziva di Yom HaKippurim. Maybe Tziva by the Miluim is to be connected with the word Tziva that you find in the Torah by Yom Kippur. Just by word of to general knowledge with regard to this concept of word comparison we call Gzerah Shavah, this is not a game. It's not choose any words you like and try to make comparisons. These attempts are based on suggestions called suggested oral traditions. The Gemara says, "Ein adam don gzeirah shava me'atzmo." So we're trying to make sure that the tradition on which word comparison we are to make is in fact accurate. So the Gemara is saying, if we are right now comparing through the common word tziva between Miluim and Pora Aduma, maybe the common word that you find, the tziva word you find, is not between Miluim and Pora Aduma, rather Miluim. Miluim is the clear reference to Hafrosha and Yom Kippur. Dichtiv, Vayas Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe. Now that posuk is in the context of Yom Kippur. It's from Vayikra Perek Tezayim. So we see in Yom Kippur the word Tziva appears. So maybe Tziva in the Miluim Pasuk is a reference to separation for Yom Kippur. Now, if you say that, so the whole Pasuk would be referring only to Yom Kippur. No reference to Pora. The Gemara answers, not so. Donin Tziva Dilifnei Asiya. Mitziva Dilifnei Asiya. Here the order of word appearance is important. We're going to compare to the Parsha of Miluim, where in the Parsha of Miluim you see the word Tziva before the word Laasos. It says Tzivu Hashem la'asois. So the order is first, Tzivu, Tzivu is a reference to the command, and la'asos is a reference to carrying out the execution of whatever needs to be done. So in the case of Por Aduma, you find that order as well. Tzivu precedes the fulfillment of the mitzvah, the action. So where Tzivu precedes the action fulfillment, that is the case that's common or comparable to Miluim, where there Tzivu appears before La'asos, before the word indicating action. So you have command and then action. The Ein Donin Tzivu de La'achar Asiya, and as a result, we're not going to compare a case where you find the word Tzivu after Asiya, which is the case in Yom Kippur. You'll notice on the second line from the top, the pasuk says Vayas Kasher Tzivu, and we've used dashed underlinings to help you see this more clearly. You have there, the word Vayas means the action. He did as he was commanded. So there you have the action preceding the word Tzivu. So we're not going to learn Yom Kippur mitzivu delefnei Asiya, because in Yom Kippur you have Tzivu that follows Asiya, whereas in the case of Miluim, you have Tzivu which precedes Asiya. The Gemara asks, V'eimo Tzivu de Korbonos. Maybe we're going to learn from Miluim that in the case of any Korban preparation, the Kohen who is going to prepare, is going to process a sacrifice, he needs to be set aside for a week beforehand. And as Rashi says, at the top line, Ve'emot Savor de Korbanos, Lahatzrich Kol Kohen Ha'oved B'Mikdash Prisha LeKorbanos Siborth. A Kohen is going to process a public sacrifice, so he would need to be set aside a week beforehand before doing that that sacrifice. So maybe that's the intention of the word Tzivu. So we read in the Gemara, Ve'emot Tzivu de Korbanos Dechtiv B'Yoyim Savoisoi Es B'nei Yisrael. And so in that pasuk, which deals with sacrifices, you have the word tzivu, which is a reference to tzivu. The Gemara answers, donin tzivu mitzivu, vein donin tzavoso mitzivu. In the case of the miluim, the word tzivu appears. In this suggestion regarding public sacrifices, the word is slightly different. It's tzavoso. So because of this difference in the word, it doesn't lend itself to the word comparison. So that with that, we dispel the second diamond suggestion. The Gemara asks, the words are different, and that's reason enough for dispelling the word comparison. Umay nafka mina. What difference does it make if the words are not exactly the same? The Hatana Debei Rabbi Shmuel, we have a Tanaic source regarding a topic that we're not going to get into right now, but the topic concerns, it's called Nigei Botim, the situation where a tsaras, a discoloration takes place within a house, and the Torah mentions in Parshas Mitzora and Sefer Vayikra that a Kohen comes and checks out the situation, and there is a procedure that takes place on week 1, week 2, week 3. Now regarding the procedure, it says in the Torah, V'shov HaKohen U'bo HaKohen. It's a reference to two psukim, Zu Hi Shiva, Zu Hi Bia, which, even though the words are different, one is V'shov, and the other word is U'bo, the fact that these, that they were called the action of the Kohen Gadol arriving takes place on week 1 and week 2, as we mentioned before, even though the words are different, but since it's the same action, that's enough for us to be able to make the comparison between what happens during those different Kohen visits to the house that has the Tzoras. As the source says, Zuhi Shiva, Zuhi Bia, the laws that apply in Shiva apply in Bia, which are a reference to the different weeks that go by before we come to a clear conclusion regarding the status of the house. What's the point? The point is that even if the words are not the same, but the spirit is the same, so to speak, that's enough for comparing the two topics or the two examples. So too, regarding the use of the word Siva as a basis for Prisha, we find Prisha by Niluim, where the word Siva appears, and we find the word Savoso in the case of public sacrifices. So why should we not compare them? The Gemara says, Hani Mili, when is it that we say that even if the words are different, we still make a comparison? Hecha de leko de domi lei, where you have nothing else that's competing, that's, let's say, more similar to the original word. So that if you, in the absence of any other word, we would compare tzavoso to tziva. Aval hecha deiko de domi lei, but where you have an exact similarity, call it an exact replica, so to speak, of that word. Namely, in the case of Miluim, the word Siva appeared, and we find in the case of the Pora Aduma, the word Siva in the exact same form appears. Midedomi le Yafinan. So where you have such an option of comparing two words, and the two words are exactly the same, I will opt to compare those rather than comparing two words that are not exactly the same. That's me, the domile, from that which is exactly similar, yalfino, that's what we will learn. So up till now, we've shown that by virtue of the gzereshav of tziva tziva between the parsha of Miluim and the parsha of Pora Adumo, we understand that there is a need for hafrosha of the Kohen Aser Fasapora. Now we turn to the second word, lechaper. Remember, in the case of Miluim, we had a pasuk where it said lechaper as well. And by the way, we have a little star indicating to look back at Omid Aleph. So if you look at Omid Aleph and you find the star there, we're making reference to the pasuk that appeared by the Miluim where it said Kasher Oso B'Yom Hazeh Tzivu Hashem Lasos Lechaper Alechem. So we're focusing now on lechaper. Up till now, we were focusing on the limud of comparing Poraduma to the Miluim. Here we look at the comparison between Miluim and Yom Kippur. Lechaper elu maisa Yom Kippurim. The word lechaper, as we indicated previously, is a reference to atonement. That is characteristic of Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. And here we have a series marking, a house form, and it's the same theme as we were discussing till now at the top of this omid. The same theme continues through here, suggesting alternatives, and we have on the side a nosei mivne, heading also an indication that this discussion will continue to Daf Gimel Omid Beis, a rather long discussion. And the house are nisyonos, attempts, lidchis, prisha, liyom kippur, to reject. These are attempts to reject the idea of requiring prisha for Yom Kippur, shenilmad mi lechaper, that was learned from the word lechaper by miluim, uvimkomo latzia prisha ledvarim achirim midrasha zu shel lechaper, and in its stead we are going to suggest other things that might require prisha. So we continue. The Emo Kapora the Karbonas. And you'll notice the double underline which we featured on the side is a reference to those Dvorah Machirim, the other things that maybe would require Prisha. Kapora the Karbonas is a reference to private sacrifices. Maybe a Kohen, before he processes a private sacrifice, would be required to separate from his house for a period of 7 days. The Gemara says that's an unreasonable suggestion, and we notice we have numberings here. There will be two approaches. Number one, mi adinon hekayin misrami de boy le prisha. Do you know which kohen is the one that's going to be chosen to do the particular korban ahead of time? Do you know ahead of time who is going to be chosen? After all, there was a process, there was a method of choosing the kohanim known as pious, which was a type of system where you couldn't know ahead of time who was going to be the chosen one. And therefore, if you don't know ahead of time who's going to process any given private sacrifice, so you have no one to set aside. The Gemara's response to that is, Amri, alomalo, why not? Niboyele, prisha lekule, mishmeres, beis av. Why not require the entire service group of that particular day to be set aside a week ahead of time, isolated from their wives? We mentioned that you don't know specifically which Kohen is going to be chosen for a particular sacrifice, because that was done by a system, as some might loosely translate it, in drawing lots, which wasn't exactly the case, but it's an idea of something that you can't know ahead of time. But one thing we do know is that the Kohen that's chosen is chosen from a specific group, which is known as a Beis Av. A Beis Av is the group of Kohanim that are assigned to a particular day. Every week there was a new replacement of Kohanim that came to the Beis Hamikdash. The switching of the guard, so to speak, took place on Shabbos. The week's service group was known as a mishmar, and there were 24 mishmaros divided amongst Klal Yisrael. Throughout the nation of Israel, Kohanim coming from different regions of the land were divided into 24 mishmaros, service groups, and each service group would be in the Beis Hamikdash for 1 week, and that was further broken down into a Beis Av, where each Beis Av, each family of Kohanim, was assigned a different day. So they would know from which group of Kohanim a Kohen would be chosen, because they were chosen on a daily basis for processing different sacrifices. So could we not say that Beis Av would be set aside 1 week before they would appear in the Beis Hamikdash? The Gemara responds, Donin Dovar Shekuvolozman Midovar Shekuvolozman. We are going to derive something that has a fixed time, and in our case, Yom Kippur is that which will be derived from the Miluim Shekuvolozman, that have a fixed time, Lafuki Korbonos, to the exclusion of sacrifices, the Chol Yoima Isnu. They can be brought any given day. They're not fixed time. And as we made reference before, we're talking about private korbanos. There is no specified day for a person to bring his particular private sacrifice. So it's not comparable to miluim, which had a fixed date for when it was done. The amal regalim, maybe kohanim should be separated in anticipation of their service in the Beis Hamikdash during holidays. Now, holidays have a fixed time. So the Gemara answers, Donin dovar shenoyig pam achas b'shana, midovar shehanoyig pam achas b'shana. We are going to conclude, in terms of comparing things to the miluim, something that takes place once a year, la fuke regolim, to the exclusion of holidays, the la pam achas b'shana nu. They are not a one-time-in-the-year event. There are three major holidays. There's Shloisha Regalim. So they are not like Miluim, which was a one-time event, as opposed to, or in contrast to Yom Kippur, which it's a one-time event on any given year. The Gemara asks, V'emor Regel Echad. Now you'll notice we have a bracketed section. And the reason for the brackets is that until after the brackets, where the Gemara picks up Eladonin, if you notice on the first wide line in the middle, up till that point, this suggestion stands. Now, in the brackets, there is an attempt to reject the suggestion, but that attempt, the attempted rejection, falls away, so that the attempt, this suggested alternative, sticks. So, just to read the Gemara, to give you a flavor of the structure, the Gemara is asking, V'eimo regel echad, maybe there should be prisha for one holiday. Not three holidays, but one of the three holidays. And then after the brackets, the Gemara says, we're not going to accept that suggestion of prisha for one holiday. Eladonin prishas shiva liyomechad, mi prishas shiva liyomechad, v'ein donin prishas shiva l'shiva. Right, that's what the Gemara will answer. We'll get back to that. But now we go back over the bracketed section. After suggestion, maybe prisha should be done for one of the holidays to make it similar to miluim, which was a separation for a one-time event. V'chiteimo lo yadinon heiminayu. You might say, you're telling me to have prisha, separation for one of the holidays. I don't know which holiday. So since I can't know which holiday, so it's not comparable to the miluim, which was a clear one-time event. The holidays, I don't know which one. There are three holidays. So the Gemara says that is not a problem, because each holiday has a distinction in it, and it might very well be based on that distinction, prisha will be insisted upon for that holiday. As follows, I Chag HaMatzos, maybe prisha is required for the holiday of Passover. Hayul Posach Bo HaKosuv Tchilah, since it is the first holiday mentioned in the list of holidays, it has that distinction, so that when the Torah speaks about an additional prisha, in addition to miluim, based on word l'chaper, maybe it's a reference to a holiday. Which holiday last? Well, maybe it's Pesach, because it's Hoyo Posel Bo Kosef Chila, or I Chag HaSukkos Hoyo Umruva Mitzvoso. Maybe Prisha is that which is required for the holiday of Sukkos and its unique feature, making it a one-time a year event, is it's Merubah Mitzvos, means it, Sukkos has a lot of mitzvahs that take place. Rashi lists them. You have the mitzvah of Sukkah, the mitzvah of Lulav, the mitzvah of Arova, and Nisuch HaMayim, the water libations on the altar of the Beis HaMikdash. So as far as the suggestion of Regel Echad is concerned, sounds like a good suggestion. If you ask me which holiday, so we'll pick one of these, making it the holiday requiring Prisha. And that we don't say all of that. Well, why not? El Adonin Prishas Shiva Li Yom Echad, Ni Prishas Shiva Li Yom Echad. When we are learning from Miluim, we look at the characteristics of Miluim. Miluim, there was a separation of 7 days, in anticipation of one day, for the one actual day. So they were separated as a lead-up to one day. In the case of Miluim, it was a lead-up to Aleph Nisan, the day of the consecration of the Mishkan. So we're going to learn that which we want to parallel to Miluim has to have that same characteristic. It would be a separation of 7 days in anticipation of one day. The Ein Donin Prishas Shiva L'Shiva Mi Prishas Shiva L'Yom Echad. And hence I can't learn Prisha, the separation for a 7 day holiday, which would then be separation of 7 days for a period of in anticipation of a holiday lasting 7 days. Well, that's 7-7. So I'm not going to learn a situation of 7-7 Mi Prishas Shiva L'Yom Echad from the topic of Miluim, wherein the Kohen was separated for 7 days in anticipation of a 1 day event. That we can call a 7-1 is not comparable to the case of holiday 7-7. Therefore, the suggestion in the most recent house of the Emo Regel Echad, that falls away. Why? because that would be a 7-7 situation, and that's not parallel to the Miluim, which we described as a 7-1 situation. Question, V'eimo Shmini, why not say that there's separation for the eighth day of Sukkot, known as Shmini Atzeres? The Prishas Shiva Liyom Echad Hu. That would have been a separation of 7 days in anticipation of a one-day event, namely Shmini Atzeres. The Gemara says, Donin Davar She'en Kedusha Lefanav, Mi Davar She'en Kedusha Lefanav. In the spirit of keeping parallels as tight as we can, so we'd rather learn Yom Kippur, which is a day that is not preceded by any holiness. The 10th of Tishrei is preceded by the 9th of Tishrei, which is a common day. It's not a day of Isser Melacha. It's not a day of any activity prohibition. So that is more comparable to the Miluim. Hence we said in the Gemara, we'd rather compare Yom Kippur to Miluim, being that Yom Kippur doesn't have sanctity prior to it, prior meaning the day before it, Midavar Shein Kedusha Lefanav, from the case of the Miluim, which is not preceded by days of sanctity. The Ein Donin, Davar Sheyesh Kedusha Lefanav, Midavar Shein Kedusha Lefanav, and I'm not going to compare Shmini Atzeres, which has sanctity beforehand, namely the days of the Sukkot holiday. Shmini Atzeres is preceded by sanctity, hence it's not comparable to the Miluim, which is not preceded by sanctity. The Gemara asks, but logically, if anything, the Shmini Atzeres all the more so should require Prisha. V'lav kal v'chomer hu? Is it not the opposite through kal v'chomer logic? Hashta dover she'en kedusha lefanav boy Prisha. Now, something like the Miluim, which does not have sanctity beforehand, and yet it requires Prisha, this separation, this concept of separation engenders a feeling of sanctification. So, mind you, something that's not preceded by sanctity requires Prisha. Dover Shiesh Kedusha Lefon of something like Shmini Atzeres, which has Kedusha, which has sanctity that precedes it, in the form of the holiday of Sukkot, Lo Kol Shekein, all the more so should require Prisha, which is an expression of sanctification. Omar Rav Misharshia Loi. Rav Misharshia, hearing this suggestion, or this response, says, no, I reject that. Hazek Siv. The Pasuk in Vayikra, Perikas Pasuk Lamedalad, which appears by the Miluim, uses the word Hazeh. And the word Hazeh tells me Kazeh. Whatever I'm going to learn from Miluim has to be like the Miluim. And we just got finished saying the Miluim was a situation where there was no Kedusha Lefanav, making it unlike the case of Shmini Atzeres, which has Kedusha Lefanav. So the word Hazeh means it's got to be, whatever I'm going to compare it to Miluim has to be like the case of Miluim. Ravashi Omar, why is there no Prisha for Shmini Atzeres, according to, now we're looking at Ravashi's answer. And take note of the fact that this comment of Rashi, we've used a long marking, taking you down to the fourth line from the top of Gimel Amud Aleph. So Ravashi Omar, why is there no Prisha for Shmini Atzeres? He says as follows, Mi Iko Midi, could there be anything to Iker Rega Loboy Prisha, where the main holiday, in this case Sukkot, does not require Prisha? We pointed out before that it would have been a 7-7 situation. We rejected Sukkot, so Sukkot does not require Prisha. And yet, Tofel Didei Boy Prisha, and yet that which is subsidiary to it. Shmini Atzeres is a kind of holiday that comes on the heels of Sukkot. It's subsidiary to Sukkot. So the main holiday, Sukkot itself, doesn't require Prisha. Would you think that the secondary holiday would require Prisha? V'afilu l'man d'yomar Shmini regel b'fnei atzmahu. Even according to the approach that says that Shmini Atzeres is not a subsidiary to Sukkot, but it's a regel b'fnei atzmo, it's a separate holiday, that's really not 100% accurate. It's not a totally separate holiday. When we speak about Shmini Atzeres as being a regel b'fnei atzmo, hani mili le'inyan, we continue at the top of Gimel Amud Aleph, Pizar Shav. These are two abbreviations. 6 points are alluded to here. Regarding 6 points as are represented by the 6 letters in this mnemonic Psar Kshav, with regard to 6 points, so Shmini Atzeres is viewed as a separate holiday. Aval le'inyan tashlumin, but as far as a day for making up Sukkos korbanos that were not offered during Sukkos, tashlumin derishon hu. Shmini Atzeres, in effect, is a make-up day for Sukkos-related sacrifices. So it's a make-up day for Sukkos, so it's subsidiary to Sukkos. So we can't refer to Shmini Atzeres as being a separate holiday, and therefore the logic we mentioned before, that if for the main stay there is no Prisha, could you possibly imagine that for the subsidiary there would be Prisha? And the Gemara goes on to say, the Hosnan, the following shows us that Shmini Atzeres is a makeup day for Sukkos. Mi shelo chog biyom tov harishon shel chag, he who didn't bring his korban chagiga on the first day of Sukkos, choygeg v'hoylech kol haregel kulo v'yoyim tov ha'acharon shel chag, he has the option, there's the ability to bring the korban chagiga. Chogeg is the action of bringing that korban, which is a Sukkos korban, through the whole holiday, and the last day as well, the last day being Shmini Atzeres. Now, we mentioned 6 points that Shmini Atzeres, we mentioned them in the abbreviated form Pizar Kshav. There are 6 points which set aside, separate Shmini Atzeres from the rest of Sukkos, but outside of those 6 points, it really, Shmini Atzeres really is a simple makeup day for Sukkos. Now, what are those 6 points? So Rashi goes through them. If you look at Rashi at the top line, Linin Psarik Shav, Pius La'atzmo, that Pius is the process of choosing Kehanim for that particular day's services. So, She'ein Pius B'Porei HaChag, Eitzel HaMishmos, as far as the daily groups that were going to offer the Sukkot sacrifices, there wasn't a daily Pius. There wasn't a daily choosing. The process of determining which Kehanim would serve was based on a cycle of Kehanim that was established on the first day of Sukkos, and from there the determination was made which Kehanim would serve based on a called cyclical effect or a cycle situation, thereby rendering unnecessary the need for pious. Aval parshal shmini b'tchilim mefisin olav. But with regard to the cow offered on Shmini Atzeres, that was not part of the cycle of service characterizing Yom the Sukkos itself, but a separate new choosing was made. So it's not with regard to which Kohanim are going to serve for offering the par, the cow sacrifice of Shmini Atzeres, it's considered a separate entity. Zman Latzmo, Rashi says Levorach Shechiyonu. That means that the pasuk, the bracha says Lazman Hazeh. Hence, the bracha of Shechiyonu is referred to by the term Zman. Whereas on Sukkos, a bracha of Shechiyonu was made at the beginning of the holiday. When it comes to Shmini Atzeres, you make a new bracha of Shechiyonu, which would indicate it's a new entity. So with regard to that need, it's a new entity. It's not part of Sukkos. Regel la'atzmo, she'ein shem chag ha'sukkos olav. It's not called chag ha'sukkos, it's called chag ha'shmini atzeres hazeh. There's a different, a separate name. Korban li'atzmo, she'ein korbono yishove l'chol shar yimos ha'chag. The korban of Shmini Atzeres is not similar to the korbanos of the rest of the holiday of Sukkos, and Rashi explains the difference. Shekulam Purim Merubin, Ve'elim Shnayim, V'yudalit Fosim. On the rest of Sukkot, there were a lot of cows, there were two rams, and there were 14 sheep. The Kan, when it comes to Shmi Atzeres, Par Echod, Ayel Echod, V'shiva Kvosim. There was one cow, there was one ram, and there were seven sheep that were offered, making it quite different than, making Shmi Atzeres quite different than the holiday of Sukkot. The shin in the term kshav, that's shir liatzmo, she'ein shiro shove lechol shar shiros yimei hachag. The shir, this was a scriptural passage recited by the Levium in the during the offering of the korbanos. So the shir of Shmi Atzeres is not similar to the shir of the rest of the days of Sukkot, as Rashi says. That kol shir yimei achag medaber meinyan gezel matnas aniyim ve'oisin shechol amoyed mefurosh maseches sukkah, and that is an abbreviation for the different passages that were said. V'shal shmini atzeres eino me'ein osif v'lo pirshu lono ezer shiro. The shir of shmini atzeres, the passage that was recited as shir, sometimes translated as the song, but that's questionable if that's the actual translation, but the passage that was recited and song or music did accompany this year, the topic of Shmi Atzeres is not the same topic that was alluded to by the Shirim recited on Sukkot. As Rashi says, the passages recited during the Sukkot holiday in the Beis Hamikdash dealt with the topic of Gezel Matnas Aniyim, the prohibition of stealing the tithes given to the poor. And finally, the Beis of Kshav, Brocha Leatzmo, Brocha Shehoyim Mevorchim Letfilas Chayamelech, Fush Pesef the Sukkah, Al Shem, Bim Ashmini Shalach Sa'am, Mevorchas Amelch. The Rashi's reference is that a special Brocha was made to the king. And that took place on Shmini Atzeres. As far as these 6 points are concerned, Tosfos disagrees on some of the things that we've said, giving an alternative explanation for the six. But for our purposes, we demonstrated how Shmini Atzeres, with regard to 6 points, is unique, but with regard to the element of Tashlumin, it really is subsidiary to Sukkot. It's a makeup time for the Sukkot Korbanos. Being that we're in the context of the Dafyomi Shiur, we will be pausing at this point, however, noting at the same time that we're in the middle of a discussion. As you can see, the house form continues down through the Omid. Alternative suggestions for Prisha, which would exclude Yom Kippur, and substitute something else for which there would be Prisha. And we have to see why these suggestions are ultimately rejected. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.